9.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's a late, late winter, rainy Saturday morning at 5 a.m. And you're listening to all Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio Spickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program. You can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 127th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in the local Galaxy group is... For this past week, on Twitter, we have rocketed back up to the stratospheric number of 120 followers, and everyone, especially in the Andromeda Galaxy, is amazed. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, April 12th, 2023, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a local station board meeting this past Wednesday night. It was messy, but not nearly as bad as the February meeting was. And we populated some national committees. And a brand new member who had replaced a member who'd resigned tried to get an item on the agenda, which would have caused utter chaos by suspending the rules of order for the chat function on Zoom. So we had a big debate about it, and that got stopped. We then had the routine item of excusing absences, and that was scheduled to take at most 5 minutes. Ended up taking 24 minutes because the same new member wanted to not excuse some members. The meeting ended, and it looked like I would once again not be able to do an oral treasurer's report, but people extended the end time of the meeting to allow it, and I was almost done when my phone got disconnected. There's a link to my written treasurer's report on the webpage for this program at glib.com. The following notice was at the Johns Hopkins website at 8:21 Friday morning. Quote, after 3 years of around-the-clock tracking of COVID-19 data from around the world, Johns Hopkins has discontinued the Coronavirus Resource Center's operations. The site's two raw data repositories will remain accessible for information collected from January 22, 2020, to March 10, 2023, on cases, deaths, vaccines, testing, and demographics, unquote. So that's gone. However, according to the Johns Hopkins website, as of Friday morning when they stopped, and for the last time, cases in the whole world reached 676,609,955 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,881,955. In America, the number of reported cases as of Friday was 103,804,263. And the death toll in America had reached 1,123,836. So, 4,290 people have died of COVID-19 in America in the last fortnight for an average of 2,145 deaths per week, which is only slightly lower than the previous week's numbers. Since it's the last thing standing, we're going to start quoting the CDC numbers. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, on their website, says that in America, the number of reported cases as of Friday was 103,672,529, and the death toll in America had reached 1,119,762, with a death rate of 1,862 for the previous week. So we have different numbers between Johns Hopkins and CDC, and we'll see how this goes in the future. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. We are not among those who are saying that getting COVID-19 infections is like getting a cold. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. As we've noted before, the last time we did this radio program from WBAI Studios, somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, was on March 7th, 2020. So we have not done a live radio program for 3 full years. I wonder if we'll ever do a live program again. I wonder if we could do a live program anymore. Who knows? Pickles of the North has a few little things to say right now.
Unfortunately, I do, Arpaul, because here we sit, and as you listen to this show on Saturday, March 11th, 2023, 3 years ago on this day, a pandemic was declared. March 11th, 2020. The other thing that the CDC has on its website is something they call a museum, and they've got an archive of all the things that happened from slightly before that date, going back into January of 2020, when something seemed to be happening in China. And reading through this timeline, many of the things I'd remembered had happened. It was so stressful and depressing, but necessary, I think, because we are still here in the pandemic, although things for many people are a lot better now. But in many ways, we're not going to recover globally from this for a long, long time. We've lost people. We lost them in terrible ways where you couldn't be with your loved one to comfort them at all or say goodbye. We have many people until this day still getting sick, people who have long COVID. We don't know what the long-term effects of that are going to be, only that some of the effects right now are extremely serious. We have children who have been traumatized, losing their caregivers, losing time at school, losing being with their friends. We've all lost time.
Of course, it's also been seriously politicized.
Yes, and that is one of the most terrible things about it. One of the most terrible things. Back when this began, we had a president, as our Paul calls him, Donnie Bonespur Trump, who refused to acknowledge the seriousness of this, who told people it would be over, you know, by a couple of months, who not only threatened to remove the United States from the World Health Organization, but began the process in a pandemic, who refused to wear a mask. Oh, remember when he did get COVID and he got the best medical care in the world for it? Everything they had developed so far, he got, and it saved his bleeping life. And then he went on the steps of the White House, and you knew that he had looked at a lot of pictures of Benito Mussolini, and he took off his mask and he stood there. What a fine, fine message that was for all the peoples of the United States and the world. Ugh. But we've gone through all of this loss, I guess, is the best word to describe it. And it's still happening. And you know, because this has become so politicized, when this pandemic is over, and I don't know, perhaps one day it will be, I don't know.
Maybe.
When the next pandemic comes down the pike, it's going to be even worse, because you're going to have all these people around the world who will say, it's not for me. Everything's fine. And things will only get worse and worse. All that stuff we did when they had not fully developed the vaccines yet, all that stuff helped. But it was at a terrible, terrible cost. Locking things down, wearing masks, being physically distanced from one another, closing the schools. Those things saved a lot of lives. But they hurt us at the same time, too. It's worth it to save those lives. I mean, we already have millions of people who are gone because of this. Millions of people who are sick, and millions of people who may be long-term suffering consequences from this. So, if you have a moment, go to the CDC's website, look at their museum, and just pause a moment and read through and reflect on what we've been through these past 3 years. And wear your damn mask when you're on the subway or in a crowded store. Because, you know, as our Paul said, people are still getting sick from this.
And I will also note that the death rate for the whole world is over 6 million. That's higher than, and that's in 3 years. In 3 years, more than 6 million people have died in the world. That's higher than the death toll of World War I that lasted for 4 years. So this is a terrible thing that's happening, and people need to pay attention to it, although some insist they will not.
And it is a terrible thing, and we know those numbers are low. Those aren't even the true numbers. More people than that have died. More people than that have gotten sick, you know. And then there are other things like, children globally could not be vaccinated against the measles because of lockdowns and because there weren't people to actually be able to go out and give the vaccine to them. You know, rates on tuberculosis have gone up. Malaria. The life expectancy of human beings has taken a step back. Economic devastation, people losing their jobs, their place to live. I mean, this is a big stinking thing. Aside from global warming, which of course looms over all and everything that happens, and this may be part of that too, maybe part of things changing. I don't know, but This is a big, big thing in all our lives. It may be the biggest thing next to global warming in all of our lives. And we have to be sensible about this because it's not going to be the only big thing like this that happens in our lives. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Tennessee Republican Governor Bill Lee has signed into law a bill that we talked about the last time we were on the air. This bill would classify drag shows as adult cabaret performances and would criminalize them, as well as engaging in, quote, male or female impersonations, unquote, in public spaces or in front of children, regardless of the nature of the show. Other states are doing similar things. Some of this, like outlawing cross-dressing, sounds an awful lot like a First Amendment case to me. What you want to wear is a statement in many cases, and we're allowed to say things. If some male wants to wear a dress, that should be okay. Women wear pants with a fly in the front, and we don't arrest them for that. Yet. I don't know, some of those red states might get around to that. And so I think that's a First Amendment case there. I think it's a First Amendment case that ought to be a slam dunk. And, of course, the laws banning assistance to transgendered youth seriously affect those kids. So there are both legal and humanitarian violations going on here. Who knows what the hell that right-wing dominated Supreme Court might do, though. Sighing is good for you. Dr. David Spiegel, professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences and director of the Center on Stress and Health at Stanford University School of Medicine, says, quote, people think taking a deep breath is the way to ease stress, but it turns out that exhaling slowly is a better way to calm yourself, unquote. In cyclic sighing, a person inhales through the nose until the lungs are halfway full, then pauses briefly. The lungs are then filled completely with another breath, and then the breath is slowly exhaled out the mouth. Quote, you want the exhalation to be like twice as long as the inhalation, Dr. Spiegel said. So there's a study out saying that of the various different things to do to relieve stress, sighing is about the best. So, I don't know. I still feel all stressed out. But then I'm trying to get a radio program done on time. And, of course, it wouldn't be a week or a fortnight in this case without more developments in the Santos scandal. Yes, representative from Long Island and a little bit of Queens, George Santos, is keeping himself in the news. Last time he was promoting a bill to make the AR-15 the national gun of the United States. That way people could use that in court, I suppose. Yeah, I shot up all those grade school children, but it was with a national gun. Oh, well, we should let you go if you're going to be that patriotic. There's a sigh again. Anyway, Santos's former roommate has told authorities that Santos was the mastermind of a 2017 identity theft scheme that they both took part in. Gustavo Ribeiro Trelha said in a sworn affidavit sent to investigators that, quote, Santos taught me how to skim card information and how to clone cards. He gave me all the materials and taught me how to put skimming devices and cameras on ATM machines, unquote. Yeah, this is, of course, this roommate is, he's done time. He's an ex-convict. And so could he be telling the truth or not telling the truth? I can't say, but it certainly is interesting here that we're getting more about this particular guy. It could be that this is what Santos did. Could also be that the roommate wants to get back at him or get publicity. And since Santos is such a big liar, when he denies it, who's going to believe him? That could be part of it. Anyway, Mr. Trelha continues, quote, I learned from him, Santos, how to clone ATM and credit cards. He had a lot of material, parts, printers, blank ATM and credit cards to be printed and engraved with the stolen account and personal information, unquote. Santos, when asked, proclaimed himself, quote, innocent, unquote, to reporters, saying, quote, never did anything of criminal activity, and I have no mastermind event, unquote. Meanwhile, he still hasn't told us how he managed to give $700,000 or more to his campaign after he was making only $55,000 a year. Of course, we also know that they're looking into his being a straw donor and having gotten money from elsewhere and sticking it into his campaign. This is illegal. And, you know, it was a lot of money that went into that campaign. And it was a lot of lying that went into that campaign. Oh, boy, there's going to be a book or two on this guy. And 100 years from now, they'll look at this and say, wow, this guy is certainly a symptom of the mess that the United States of America was back in the 2020s. Good grief. These aren't the roaring 20s. These are the falling apart 20s. So one of the stories that's really making a big splash in this past fortnight, and again, we were preempted last week, so we weren't on, and so we're kind of looking back a little bit. You got to be careful on a program like this where you've been off for a week. You got to be careful you don't just dredge up everything, you know, from 2 weeks ago, because it sounds like it's just old, old news. But this is certainly an important bit. Some of it took place a while ago, a little more than a week ago. Some of it was this past week. Yeah, in his past fortnight, Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy authorized the release of more than 40,000 hours of Capitol security footage from January 6, 2021, to Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who used the video to attempt to play down the violence of January 6th and recast the attack as a largely peaceful gathering. Insurrection? What insurrection? People getting shot? People breaking into the Capitol through the windows, carrying guns with them? Whoa, that's just tourists. They're being escorted through the rooms by the police. Well, yeah, the police were overwhelmed and they didn't just vacate. They were watching these guys. They weren't escorting them as tour guides. They were staying near them to keep tabs on where these people who wanted to murder people were going. I don't know. Maybe Kevin McCarthy and Tucker Carlson are of the opinion that hang Mike Pence was something complimentary to say. Of course, we know that's not true because the Dominion Voting Machine Company has a lawsuit and they're getting all of these documents from Fox, including Tucker Carlson and other people saying what a crock that stuff was, Trump's big lie about he won the election. They knew it. They talked to each other about knowing it. They said, some of them said, wow, this is bad. This is making us look bad that we're saying this stupid crap on the air. And some of them saying, I can't stand Trump. He's such an awful person. And we got to get rid of him. We got to stop, you know, basically tying ourselves to him, which they've done for all those years. And, oh, man, this is. So, yes, McCarthy has given this guy, Tucker Carlson, all of this stuff. And he, of course, handed it off to a whole crowd of people. Who knows where it's gone by now? I mean, I'm sure the right-wing idiots who do podcasts and things, I'm sure that Jones character who claims he has no money is being sued for gazillions because he's and found guilty because he's having people go after the parents of murdered children. I'm sure that guy's going to have access to it and other people too. And this is... Whoa. Meanwhile, reporters are getting up a lawsuit to sue to also be given the same 40,000 hours because they're saying, and rightfully, you're favoring this one guy with this public property. You are disposing of public property, the video from inside the Capitol, and, you know, that's obviously public property. The government has these cameras set up. And also, there's various bits of security information in all those 40,000 hours. So the next time they want to do an insurrection, they will know where to go and what cameras to avoid and how to take out cameras and probably various other things that they're learning from it that we don't know yet. And this is really very bad. This is a part of his campaign to become Speaker of the House because he had to promise a lot of right-wing creeps, a lot of right-wing creep crap. And this is some of it. Give Fox News all of the January 6th data. 40,000 hours. That's an enormous amount of time. And yeah, I mean, if you have an ordinary 9-to-5 job, you generally are working something on the order of 2,000 hours a year. So that 40,000 hours would be like 20 years of working. Yeesh. Of course, there are various cameras and they're all going at once. So that's why it's so big. But gee whiz, that's pretty bad stuff right there. And McCarthy has also authorized a subcommittee to investigate the events surrounding the Capitol breach, warning the House committee that investigated January 6th last year to preserve its files. He appointed Representative Barry Loudermilk of Georgia, a Republican whom McCarthy views as having been unfairly maligned by the January 6th panel, as the chairman of a House administration subcommittee assigned to investigate security failures and review the House January 6th committee's work for signs of bias. Holy hell, they have people coming in armed in the Capitol. The then president, still for a couple of weeks, says to this crowd that he gathers, hey, go down to the Capitol and save us. Make Mike Pence stop this and save the election for me. And they go down there and they break in and they assault the police and they assault everybody and they start hunting for the Congress critters. Hang Mike Pence being a cry because while it's going on, Trump is tweeting out that Mike Pence has caved in and he will not do the right thing and say the election certification cannot be pro forma gone through. And so they were going to kill him if they got him. They were going to kill it. They were going to kill Nancy Pelosi. Jesus Christ. So all of this is going on here, and these people are making believe that their fantasy of they were just tourists is real. What an amazing thing. And I'll also note that Green, that Congress critter Green from Georgia, she is also being allowed to go and claim that the people who were arrested for January 6th violations are mistreated in the prison, the jail in D.C. Well, the thing is, probably everybody's mistreated in that prison, that jail. And she's, oh, they're just, they were tourists and they were being mistreated. By the way, there are now more than 1,000 people who have been charged in this. And a former NYPD person, the former cop, New York City cop, who had been a cop for 10 years and then quit. She was in the January 6th insurrection inside the Capitol doing things, cheering everybody else on, and she has been convicted. So she's got a couple of felonies against her now, and she gets sentenced sometime soon here. I forget exactly when she's sentenced, but she's going to get sentenced in the next number of months. So there's another one, and interestingly, another cop, and from Staten Island. Oh, boy. So you have these people who are trying to rewrite history when we've all seen it. You know, it's sort of like people saying, oh, the 9/11 attacks didn't happen. Of course, we have people doing that. We have people saying, yes, there was no plane that hit the Pentagon, but there's video of it. And, you know, what the hell do you think hit it? And people arguing that the steel of the World Trade Center couldn't have weakened under a lot of flames. Insane, totally insane, goes against any logic. So you've got that sort of thing going on. And that kind of stupid mentality also fuels this right-wing form of stupid mentality, which says, hey, we can just say that they were tourists breaking through the windows, storming the place, beating the crap out of police. They've got guns. They've got twist ties on them to take people into custody. They were going to try and get a hold of Nancy Pelosi. They would have killed her if they'd gotten her. They were chanting, hang Mike Pence. I don't know if they'd have hanged him, but they probably would have, at very least, harmed him seriously. Not that he's a good guy, of course, but he shouldn't be hanged or seriously beaten up by a mob. And they want to just make believe all of this. They are trying to seize the history. And this also goes to the far right wing lunatic base that these people cultivate, which Fox News, I think, is now kind of wavering about because they're seeing this gets to be too crazy. We can't manage this kind of nonsense. And I don't think there's a way out really for Fox News. I think they're going to be permanently branded as lying sacks of bleep. And yes, lying sack of bleep news on Fox. So yes, this is something that we're gonna have to really deal with and fight in our daily lives. And we're gonna run into people who are gonna claim, oh, and this is all, you know, it was nothing happened there, you know. Just as some of us contradict anti-vaccination disinformationists all the time when we can. And all of this is like the stupiding of America. So much idiocy going on. How on earth can they do this? And there are serious things that are going on, of course, that we have to watch for. But this is nuts. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book, My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. In some good news, tomorrow morning, daylight saving time is back. Tomorrow morning, for those of you listening to this radio program at sometime on Saturday morning. Yes, Sunday morning at 2 a.m., we jump forward to 3 a.m., and daylight saving time comes to us. I'm so glad. I'm going to enjoy that. I really prefer it when sunset happens after 7 p.m. And the more after it, the better. But after 7 p.m., I feel better. I really actually feel better with the sun setting at 7 p.m. or later. This stuff, of, like when it sets at 4:28 in early December, oh, it's so depressing. But yeah, this way here, we're going to have darkness in the morning, which is okay, because we like to have our radio program on at night. And, you know, at some point, I think dawn happens before we end the program, but that happens in June. And so we're going to really enjoy the fact that we have this extra hour of daylight at the end of the day. And then 1 week from Monday on March 20th, 2023, at 5:24 p.m., that's 5:24 in the afternoon, spring will arrive. Whoopee! Oh, we're going to be so glad to have spring showing up again, and we will follow a little tradition we'll have on the next program. Yes, that's right. There will actually be music on back of the book for the next program. Not a ton, but a little bit of music. So we're coming up to some times that are going to make me feel a bit better, and I like that. I've been wanting to do a longish piece on aging, because I am, and some of the things you have to adapt to. And not everybody seems to adapt to the fact that they're getting older. And by older, I don't mean just a bit older. I mean you're getting elderly, and in some cases, very elderly. A 91-year-old man was riding his e-bike eastbound on the Belt Parkway in Sheepshead Bay about 6:55 in the evening on Tuesday, and he was about to exit onto the Plum Beach Rest Stop just past Knapp Street, past that exit on the Belt Parkway, when his bike struck the curb, police say. He was thrown from his bike and struck his head when he landed. So he wasn't run over. He just didn't coordinate. And his e-bike, what the hell is he doing riding an e-bike at 91? And riding it on the Belt Parkway, it's a highway. I think the speed limit is, what, 55 on there? So you're riding this stupid e-bike, which goes way too fast for riding on the sidewalk, which a lot of people do, but which is not nearly fast enough to keep up with the traffic flow on a highway. And so he's riding it through there. Yeah, what could go wrong? And we're speculating he probably doesn't have a helmet on either. So he died. And this is a tragic thing, but God, you got to adapt to being old at some point. Otherwise, there are bad consequences.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Boy, those words are said very often amongst my siblings and myself, because I too have a father who's almost 90 years old, who has been riding his bicycle since he was a little boy way back in the last century. And he told me, well, the way I discovered that he really doesn't think he's old was last winter, I think, when he said, well, you know, I find it hard to jump over the snowbanks now. I guess I am old. Oh, he made this discovery at 89. You might think it's charming. It's not. It's not, especially when a man who's just had neurosurgery less than 2 months ago is looking forward. Well, the big thing he's looking forward now is marching in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which goes on for miles in downtown Montreal. You know, but as he put it to all of us, no one's going to tell me how to live my life, which I guess includes the neurosurgeon. So we hope he gets to have his brain scanned before he decides to do this. It's probably not going to happen, though. It would have to happen in this coming week. But, and of course, once the snow melts, he plans on getting back on his bike. Now, I hope no one tells him about e-bikes.
Oh.
Because the thought of him getting back on his bike now, did I mention he has cataracts too, and they really have impaired his vision? So it's really a frightening thought. But what can one do? He won't listen to his 93-year-old wife, so.
Gotta wind it up. Gotta wind it up. Okay, we've wound it up. What did we wind up? The WBAI pitching train. It's here. Okay. Here we go. We are going to pitch a little bit here, and this is Women's History Month, and WBAI does a whole month about women's history stuff, and so we're going to be doing that and pitching because we need to raise money. We need to seriously raise money. And so we're going to offer a whole bunch of things here, and let's hear first a little piece here about Shirley Chisholm.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI in New York with a moment in women's history. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman in Congress, and in 1972, she became the first woman and first black American to seek the nomination for President of the United States from one of the two major parties.
I am a woman with ability, with intelligence, and with depth. That is the sadness about this country. And that's why I made my mind up. I was going to stay in this race, come thick or thin. And I was going to go all the way to Miami, because even though the papers have been underscoring me, even though many people have been saying, well, she can't be serious, they're going to see me in action at the National Convention. And I mean this. I am committed to this as an instrument of people in this country who've been left out, an instrument of people whose counsel and advice has never been sought. In terms of putting a ticket together, only using the people every 4 years for their votes. I look at all of these distinguished senators telling all of the people what they're going to do for women, what they're going to do for blacks, what they're going to do for Chicanos, what they're going to do for this group and the other group. Well, darn it, they've been in the United States Senate for 10 or more years. If they had a concern about the American Indian, they would have done something already about the miserable living conditions that those Indians live on in terms of the reservations, where 70% of them don't live to see the age of 40. They don't have a concern about women. They don't have a concern about the conservation and preservation of human resources. They're only interested in these human resources every 4 years when it's time to go out and get the vote. And that's why when people say, well, what makes you so different from all the rest of them? I said, I am different because I have a gut commitment to people, first of all. All of the rest of them have commitment to different interest groups, financial groups, power groups. I'm espoused only by a lot of folks in the country who told me they didn't want to vote between the lesser of the two evils anymore. They wanted to give their vote to somebody that they knew deep down within themselves had a commitment to people. And for whatever that vote would mean, at least it would give me that much more added strength that I need when I get to the convention.
Chisholm retired from Congress after serving seven terms. In 1983, she said she wanted to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst for change. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Shirley Chisholm and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a buddy in the name of your favorite program, or call 212-209-209. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, certainly, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month.
And I will also note that Shirley Chisholm was an early supporter of the gay rights bill that we brought up, that the Gay Activist Alliance brought up more than 50 years ago. And, gee, I recently saw something about somebody who claims to have written the bill. I know who wrote the bill. And anyway, so, yeah, she was a supporter of that when it wasn't the most popular thing, and it got voted down a number of times. In fact, we had to have big fights to have hearings for it, and I remember that. But she was in favor of it. Others were not. And you know, so we have this Women's History Month pitching going on. We need to raise a pile of money. And so we have been informed by management that BAI buddies now have a minimum of $10. So generally, we can pitch here for somebody to become a BAI buddy for $10 or $15 or $20 or more. If you become, and with that, you get a BAI tote bag, and you become a BAI buddy. And a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership here. What it means is on a monthly basis, you'll donate that amount of money to BAI. You do that by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what you do is, you call them up, you call the call center up, and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you get a tote bag when you become a BAI buddy. And there may be some stuff in the bag, we don't know. And basically, for Women's History Month, we have a special offering. If you become a $15 a month BAI buddy, or if you donate $100 in a one-time contribution, you'll receive an 8-gigabyte USB flash drive containing 79 hours of audio from Pacifica's Women's History Collection. When you call up the call center at 1-212-209-2950, ask for the Women's History Collection. And again, if you're going to become a BAI buddy, you have to do $15 a month to get the Women's History Collection. Unless you want to just donate a one-time $100 donation, which we gladly accept, and then you'll also get it. Again, it's the Women's History Collection. You heard a tiny bit of that just now. And we need to raise the money. I mean, we're behind on the tower rent. We're behind on the rent to the studios. And we're also behind on the call center, which is what you're going to be calling. And so they got to really get the call center paid off, because otherwise we can't raise money for anything else. So 1-212-209-2950. Again, the BAI Buddy is a regular sustaining membership, which means you call up 1-212-209-2950. You say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then you give them your credit card or debit card number, and you tell them how much you'd like to donate. It can be $10, the new minimum, $15, $20 more if you want, and then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged, and they will do that for you. So what happens is you call up that number, 1-212-209-2950, and you say you want to become a BAI buddy. Now, management has put out something that says, as of now, we see that out of over 100 programs, 31 have no buddies, and 21 have only one buddy. We need to step up the number of buddies to safeguard programs we have now on air, unquote. This week, we found out that we have 3 BAI buddies on Back of the Book. Thank you to the BAI buddies. We have 3 BAI buddies. Also, thanks to the one-time donors we know we have, And you're all helping us. You're helping us to stay on the air and helping BAI to exist. If you're not a donor or a buddy right now, would you please become one? Again, if you just want to become a BAI buddy, it's 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book and tell them you want to donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month or more. And also tell them if you want to get that women's history collection, you got to tell them you want to pledge for the women's history collection. And that's that 8 gigabyte flash drive with all this stuff on it. And you plug that into a computer or some other things and you can listen to 79 hours of this stuff. And so, yes, 1-212-209-2950. And it's $15 a month or more if you want the Women's History Collection. And it, again, also a one-time donation of $100 gets you the Women's History Collection. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call right now, and we need to hear from you.
Arpa, why don't we hear a little more from that vast collection full of women and history?
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI New York with A Moment in Women's History.
I certainly couldn't become a part of the Hollywood white group. I was never allowed to act, really, with another white person in a scene. I was pinned to the pillar so I could be cut out of the scene if it went to places in the South where it couldn't be shown.
Lena Horne, actress, singer, dancer, and civil rights activist, worked at the Cotton Club on Lenox Avenue in the 1930s.
That was the place that was the showcase for Negro talent. And one had to have some place to show one's creativity. Duke Ellington, Cab Calloway, the great Ethel Waters. Negro people finally who worked under a roof in a cabaret that was a little better than a basement downstairs somewhere and not a tent show in the South. But on the other hand, I was torn because it was a dreadful place with bad working conditions, little money, no respect paid to its creative people, and our own people couldn't come and see us perform. One didn't say too much about it because one then would get all the men fired who were waiters there, and one would get all the girls fired who took care of their families by working there.
Horne says the Cotton Club was a trap. She later performed at the March on Washington on behalf of the NAACP and SNCC. Her career was sidelined for a while by the Hollywood blacklist. She was trailed by the FBI for decades. A memo in Horne's FBI file in 1948 says she's sympathetic to the communist cause and is extremely race conscious. You can receive our extensive women's history audio collection with Lena Horne and some of her music and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 or more a month. You'll also receive WBAI's fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a WBAI buddy in the name of your favorite radio program or in the name of all WBAI radio shows, which many people have been doing. Call 212-209-2950. That's another way that you can become a WBAI buddy. 212-209-2950. And say, yes, I want to become a WBAI buddy on this Women's History Day. Thank you.
Again, BAI needs to pay a lot of bills. We are behind on everything, and we need you. You, the listener. You listen to this program. You listen to maybe other programs on BAI. We're really in financial deep stuff, And if we don't make some more money, we are not going to be on the air. The people at the tower, that's Four Times Square, where the transmitter and antenna are, they are a bit PO'd at us because we don't pay on time. What we do is we get 3 months behind, and then we pay on like the very last day of the month, so that we're then 2 months behind, and then the next day we're 3 months behind again. So this is what management has been doing, managing this money, because we don't have the money. We get down to like $1,000 in the bank account, and we have like $17,000 a month for the tower rent. It's, I think, $5,300 a month for the studio rent. We owe the call center thousands. So we got to get this. Plus, of course, we have to make payroll. Before any of that, we have to make payroll twice a month. And that's the most important thing, legally even. 1-212-209-2950. And call them up, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You can pledge to, on a monthly basis, donate $10, $15, or $20 a month, or more if you want, and tell them you want to do it in the name of Back of the Book. Also, if you want to get that big 8-gigabyte USB flash drive with 79 hours of audio from Pacifica's Women's History Collection, still call up 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want the Women's History Collection, and you'll tell them you want to become a BAI buddy for $15 a month, or more than $15 a month if you want. Or you can say, I want to do a one-time donation of $100 to get the Women's History Collection, and they will do that for you. 1-212-209-2950. Please, please call them up at that number now. We need to hear from you. Oh, that's it for Back of the Book for this week. We are supposed to be back here next week, and I think we will be. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Geller.
It's going to be daylight saving time tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, so enjoy that. Whatever way you can, going out into it or looking out the window, enjoy the later sunset. Get ready. For a week from Monday, we're going to have spring. Oh, okay. Should be back next week. Until then, take care of yourselves. And above all, remember what that sighing dormouse said.
In your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people.
We are land of many colors, and we are singing for our love.
You're tuned to listener sponsored WBAI New York with A Moment in Women's History. Grace Paley is familiar to longtime WBAI listeners.
I think someone had said something about how the old anti-war movement thought if we were all nice, everything would change. But the truth is, many people spent many years in jail. Tens of thousands of people lived in exile for many years. There are probably hundreds underground to this day.
Paley helped found the Vietnam Peace Center in 1961. She visited Hanoi as a member of a peace delegation.
Groups of people from the anti-war peace movement went to Vietnam during the war with an arrangement with the Vietnamese government to bring back American prisoners of war. This was the idea of the Vietnamese to really show that they would like to end the war. And they were sending these guys back, 3-4 at a time. And they were all pilots, they were all officers, it was an officer class. And they asked only one thing, and that was that these pilots not be used again during the war, and that they not have any association with the Air Force. Within 6 months of their return, the United States government had them teaching other pilots and continuing their old work. It was clear from that that the United States had no intentions of ending that war. The reason I'm telling you this is because I think the whole Iranian business is exactly the same thing.
The celebrated writer and peace activist was forever making connections between the past and the present. Grace Paley once said, "There's no point in getting older if you can't say something about what happened earlier."
We're living right now at a time where the United States government could have gotten out of the whole thing very easily.
In the 70s, Paley turned her attention to the anti-nuclear movement. She once said for a writer not to be political is peculiar. She was interested in a history of everyday life. She was one of the earliest writers to explore the lives of women, mostly Jewish, mostly New Yorkers, with a focus on single mothers. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Grace Paley and other trailblazers by becoming